The Book of John, Chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha, both good friends of Joshua. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." But when Joshua heard this, he said, "This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it." Now Joshua loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Master, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again?" Joshua answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." This he said. After that, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep." The disciples then said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Joshua had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. So Joshua then said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Therefore Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, so that we may die with him." So when Joshua came, he found that the body, that Lazarus' body, had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Joshua was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Joshua, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Joshua said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Joshua said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live spiritually, even if he dies physically. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die spiritually. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." When she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Joshua had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Joshua was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Joshua therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Joshua wept. So the Jews were saying, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" So Joshua, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Joshua said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Joshua said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone. Then Joshua raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Joshua said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. But some of them went to the religious leaders and told them the things which Joshua had done. Therefore, the religious leaders convened a council and were saying, "What are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was the president of the religious leaders' council that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you that one man die for the people, and that the whole nation not perish." Now he did not say this on his own initiative, but being president that year, he prophesied that Joshua was going to die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but in order that he might also gather together into one the children of God who were scattered abroad. So from that day on, they planned together to kill him. Therefore Joshua no longer continued to walk publicly among the Jews, but went away from there to the country near the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there he stayed with the disciples. Now the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went up to Jerusalem out of the country before the Passover to purify themselves. So they were seeking from Joshua, and were saying to one another as they stood in the temple, "What do you think, that he will not come to the feast at all?" Now the religious leaders had given orders that if anyone knew where he was to report it, so that they might seize him. John chapter 12. Joshua, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Joshua had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard, and anointed the feet of Joshua, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for hundreds of dollars and given to the poor people?" Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief, and as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Therefore Joshua said, "Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Commentary note 42. Loving, respecting, listening to, obeying Joshua is more important than caring for the poor, though caring for the poor is good and right according to Joshua. See Luke chapter 13. Returning to text, verse 9. The large crowd of the Jews then learned that he was there, and they came not for Joshua's sake only, but they might also see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. But the religious leaders planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in, another way of saying placing their faith in, Joshua. The next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Joshua was coming to Jerusalem, took the branches of the palm tree and went out to meet him and began to shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Joshua, finding a young donkey, sat on it as is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." These things his disciples did not understand at first, but when Joshua was glorified, that is, he defeated death by his resurrection, they then remembered that these things were written of him and that they had done these things to him. So the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify about him. For this reason also the people went and met him, because they heard that he had performed this sign. So the religious leaders said to one another, "You see that you are not doing any good? Look, the world has gone after him." Now, there were some Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast. These then came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Joshua." Philip came and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip came and told Joshua, and Joshua answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal." Commentary note 43. Verse 25 provides a key teaching of Joshua of what one must do to be his disciple or follower. This key teaching is repeated in all the Gospels, Matthew 10:39, 16:25, Mark 8:35, Luke 9:24, and 17:33, and yet is virtually unknown to the masses who take some Christian label. Disciples must ask ourselves, are we willing to do this? If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came out of heaven, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying, an angel has spoken to him. Joshua answered and said, this voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world, that is Satan, or the prince of this world, will be cast out. Commentary note 44. In this commentator's opinion, this was fulfilled with the ransom paid at the cross, Joshua's death, see Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. And thus Satan lost his strong rulership over mankind. Joshua opened the door to mankind's prison cell, so to speak, by paying the ransom, again Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. And ever since, mankind, each person, is free to choose whom or what they will serve. Each person must decide if they are going to walk out of the dark prison cell and go to the light or not, a cell they have grown accustomed to and feel comfortable in. Returning to text, verse 32. And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. Commentary note 45. He was lifted up from the earth, and thus he does draw all men to himself. See Luke chapter 24, verse 51. Everyone who hears of Joshua has been given an invitation to come. All who have had the opportunity to hear his words and truths have no excuse for rejecting him. Substituting Bible or Christian religion for him is a clever way to reject him. Returning to the text, verse 33. But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. The crowd then answered, we have heard out of the law that the Messiah is to remain forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So Joshua said to them, for a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, while Joshua is on the earth, trust in the light given by the Maker our Father, so that you may become sons of light. These things Joshua spoke, and he went away and hid himself from them. But though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, which he spoke, quote, Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Unquote. For this reason they could not believe, for Isaiah said again, quote, he has blinded their eyes, and he has hardened their heart, so that they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart, and be converted, and I heal them. Unquote. These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory, and he spoke of him. Commentary note 46. This is a good example of a saying in the scripture being wrong. The writer John quotes the Jewish prophet Isaiah, who in this case says that God, quote, has blinded their eyes, and he has hardened their heart, so that they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart, unquote. The Heavenly Father does not blind men nor harden their hearts. Rather, men do that all by ourselves. Listen to Joshua, whose words are from the Father's heart, quote, "For I have come not to destroy men's lives, but to save them," unquote. See the next paragraph, quote, "I have come to save the people of the earth," unquote. And those words are given by, quote, "the Father himself," unquote. All Old Testament sayings should be thought of as potentially painting the wrong picture of God unless the saying is validated by Joshua's way and teachings. Returning to text, verse 42. "Nevertheless, many even of the political rulers believed in him, but because of the religious leaders, they were not confessing him, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. And Joshua cried out and said, 'He who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who trusts in me will not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the people of the earth. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. For I did not speak of my own initiative, but the Father himself, who sent me, has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me." Commentary note 47. What more could he say? He is the Creator's messenger. He is the light of the world and the life that everyone needs. There are consequences for rejecting him and his light. Why would you reject him? What does he say that is wrong? Which of his primary teachings do you disagree with, and why?